The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Here tonight at the Lotus Place, and we want to welcome you in tonight. It is our What's On Your Mind line, July 20th, 2016, and so much has been happening, I just don't even know where to start. Oh my God, we've cut our days down to one day a week on Wednesday, and I really miss our Black Talk Radio family. I miss all of our listeners. I miss hearing what you have to say and sharing what we have to say, because I tell you, it's just always something going on in this whole crazy world. Oh my goodness, what's on your mind? So we want you to call us tonight and share what's on your mind. The number to call in is 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. But it's not all bad things happening. There are a lot of good things going on, too. So I want to hear some good news as well. You know, we're all about uplifting, enlightening, and awakening, and sharing love.
I have some good news for you, Black Rose.
Oh, what you got, Scotty? What's going on?
The servers are back online, so we are doing our regular streaming. We have our radio station back online, so that's some good news.
Oh, wow. Yay. Okay, woo-hoo. Let's see here. Yay. Yay, you, Scotty.
Thanks so much
for stuff. Yeah,
God, it was hard.
Shoot, you better know it, honey, here at Black Talk Radio Network. And speaking of which, go online and donate to Black Talk Radio Network so that we can keep these shows coming to you live. We have a lot of new hosts on Black Talk Radio Network, so be sure to tune in all day. You can either hear some good conversations, music, clips, just Tune in, donate. Let's keep Black Talk Radio alive. Let's support our radio hosts. We complain about certain news outlets not sharing our stories. Well, this is a place where you can hear world news, community news, and black news. So you can't beat that. So we need to keep this program alive. And you can donate to the Lotus Place radio show, of course, at the Lotus Place Radio show at gmail.com. You can also send us letters if you have any questions, comments, letters for Delta on what Delta can pretty much answer some questions on a lot of things, relationships, money, buying a house, real estate, raising children, how to cook a coon a coon dinner, how to cook a possum dinner, how to cook a pound cake. So, yeah, Delta can answer those questions for you. And then we also have Feather Light with her mind, body, and spirit. So if you want to know anything about namasteing and peace and raising your vibrations, you can send a letter in.
Loving your body.
Definitely loving your body. And yeah. For sure. And then we also have, of course, Icy Hot, who can keep us informed about environmental racism and environmental injustice. And let me welcome in Icy Hot. Welcome in Feather Light and welcome in Icy Hot.
Namaste.
Thank you. Thank
Namaste.
You.
Namaste.
I've missed everybody also.
I know.
Namaste, Icy Hot.
Yeah. Hey, Icy Hot, before the night is over or either now, whichever one is better for you, if you would like to share some information about the convention coming up.
Sure. I'll do it right now while we have it on the top of the burner here. We are having our second annual Women United Convention, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Saturday and Sunday. It's a weekend, ladies and gentlemen, so take the weekend to Minneapolis. September, it's still nice and warm for you. It's beautiful at the Mall of America, and we'll take you on a tour to Prince's compound. But most importantly, we have some wonderful, wonderful workshops, roundtable discussions around health, education, spirituality, and entrepreneurship. And we are having a wonderful, wonderful convention with a theme of the Black woman and how to make your life better. And spirituality. Ooh. So, September 17th and 18th, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're looking forward to you coming there for that weekend. Spend a day or two extra. We'll be also talking about human trafficking. We have our wonderful Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. We'll be talking about strategies as well as the statistics around those issues in our African-American community, not just for the state of Minnesota, but I'm sure she'll be versed on that nationally. And we have a wonderful, wonderful speaker coming in. Dr. Nessa is from Maryland, and she'll be talking about that issue as well. She'll be doing a keynote. So she will open that up for us. So we've got really some wonderful, wonderful work going on in Minneapolis, and then we'll have some local presenters on diversity as well as the Black Nurses Association, Pan-African nurse, healthcare provider, and actually she's very well versed on reparations as well. So it's going to be a quite interesting Women United Convention, so we're looking forward to everybody being there. Come on, Black folk, let's talk about some real stuff. We always complain about, oh, this organization isn't doing that, that organization isn't doing that. So here we have an opportunity to come out. You'll be setting the agenda for our next year's work. And as you all know, the Million Women March commemoration, 20-year commemoration, is coming up 2017. So we also want to support that. In 2017, so some work is beginning to be done on that. But Women United, second annual convention, something new, something with a breath of fresh air. So go to our website, womenunited7777.org. That's 4 7s, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
All right.
Let's go, African folks. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for sharing it, and we'll continue to give updates. And be sure to go onto the website and register at womenunited7777.org. Go ahead on and register now so that you can save your seats because seats are filling up. So you definitely want to go ahead on and jump in, get your little party bus group together, church women, everybody come on, your women's group, sororities, come on and support Women United. Absolutely, yeah. And definitely we want to reach out to the sororities, because I know that there were some sororities that have, or some members of sororities that have been participating in some of the protests and the demonstrations. And so this is a great time to come and get informed and just get engaged and figure out how we can work this thing out. And what did you say that theme is again? Making your life better, making women's lives better?
Yes. Black women making your lives better.
Black women making your lives better. Absolutely. I love that. So I don't see why some of the sororities wouldn't come, and at least send a few representatives, so that that message can be taken back to those chapters, and we can do the work that needs to be done in the community. So thank you very much, Mother Hattie, for sharing that information.
Thank you.
For sure, for sure. So, of course, there's been tons of things going on. Let me see. I think I want to mention just briefly, I was so surprised to see that my hometown, Memphis, was demonstrating after some of the violence that took place last week. Go Memphis. And what I want to mention about that is not just the protests and the demonstrations, which I think is great, but the interim police chief in Memphis, who's black, he actually told all the white police officers to stand back, step back, move, get out the way, and he only allowed black police officers to patrol the demonstration, and he actually walked arm in arm with the black community, so that kind of appeased them, and there wasn't like any serious violence or anything like that, no pepper spraying, no craziness going on from what I was told and what I can see, because I did kind of live stream it. So I cannot think
That's
of
the
police chief's name. Yeah. So the people in Memphis were very pleased with that. And I don't know, maybe there could be some type of change going in the direction of community policing, getting out there, getting to know the people versus trying to just patrol the people. And speaking of which, I can't remember if we mentioned this on our last airing, but Snoop Dogg and The Game, they also met with the graduating police class in Los Angeles, which I thought was really good, because they said that they want to introduce themselves to the police officers. They want the police officers to introduce themselves to the community, so that if none of this, I don't know you, so I'm just going to kill your black tail kind of business going on, get to know who's in your community. You know, they took the protect and serve off the police cars, so we know that they're not doing that for the black community. But maybe, just maybe, if these officers, these cops, know this person that they're coming into contact with, maybe they would think twice before they pull the trigger and just kill them. So I hope that we can see some kind of change. You know, so many things are coming to light, and I just really think it's just beautiful, because now it's like everything that we've been saying for decades about how police treat us, how police interact with us during traffic stops, no one can just say, oh, they're fabricating that. Oh, that's their imagination. No,
right.
it's being filmed daily.
He had a gun. He tried to take the gun away.
Yeah. You can't say that kind of stuff anymore. You just can't get away with those kind of lies anymore. Because, I mean, even the crazies have to admit now that, that officer was wrong. I mean, even if they don't admit it on camera, deep down in their heart, I think many of them are beginning to realize, But then a lot of them, they already know, because there's no secret that these neo-Nazis have infiltrated the police department. I mean, that's the documented fact. So let's be clear, and let's not play any games. So that in and of itself really, really needs to be addressed, and I think that's a good segue into this clip with this woman, Nakia Jones, I wanted to play this last week. Her video went viral. A cop in, where's Nakia Jones? Is she in Cleveland? Was she in Cleveland? I forget where she was. I want to say she's in Cleveland. And so she posted a video, I believe on Facebook Live, about her colleagues. So I want to share her video. Let me see. I hope I have this video. She speaks about, oh my goodness, I don't have, well, I'll get it in just a second. Give me a second. So she goes on about her colleagues and if they're racist, how they need to take the badge off. And I mean, the video just really went viral. And then there was even some talk about how she was suspended or fired, which then I saw some posts and read an article that she wasn't actually fired. So I tell you, sometimes you just really got to double check a lot of this stuff that people put out on social media. You really, really do. I can't stress that enough. But we'll listen to her clip. And also, something else that's trending, that has been trending this week, of course, the RNC is taking place, the Republican National Convention. And I tell you, well, I don't know what these people are going to do about this white-on-white crime. Whew, Lord have mercy. They need to do something about that white-on-white crime. Jesus, those people just cutting up and just going at each other because they're supposed to vote on new rules on the floor during the nominating process and all. But Donald Trump's camp and this new fraction of the Republican Party, they just said, forget that. We're not allowing none of you to vote. And Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, and it is what it is. So you can just sit down. For all of you people that don't want him, you don't matter, okay? Talk about black lives don't matter. Your white life don't matter either. Your vote don't matter. So that's right. Basically what they told them. And so, oh my God, they're just all up in an uproar, and which I would be too, because that's how the convention historically has operated. They've been able to cast their votes, and they just weren't allowed to do that. And there are quite a few Republicans that are not on, they're not supporting Donald Trump. In fact, Lord have mercy, that senator in, is it Florida? I think he's in Florida, Flake. He said he would rather mow his lawn than go to the Republican convention and support Donald Trump. Oh my God, I just, oh God, I was like, ooh, it was just too funny to me. He said he'd just rather mow his lawn. And then another one said that he said, oh, it's a good time for fishing in Montana. He'd rather go fishing than support Donald Trump.
All right.
So, yeah, these people, they're not having it.
And they usually stick together.
They generally stick together. There's something going
this
on.
This cop is from Warrensville Heights, Ohio. The lady that went off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, Ohio, okay. Warrensville, I knew it was somewhere up there in Ohio. Okay, well, here's her clip, Nakia Jones. This went viral.
Nakia Jones. My son came home from work today, and he showed me a disturbing video about a young man that was shot and killed by police in Louisiana. And it's so funny because my son wanted to go to college there, and I kept saying, I ain't feeling that or whatever. What's interesting is to me is that the shooting involved a police officer. And I watched the video over and over and over and over and over again so that I wouldn't become judgmental, because not only am I a mother of two African-American sons, and I have African-American nephews, and I have brothers, I'm also a person that wears the uniform with the blue. I'm also the one that gives their lives, puts their lives in danger. I wear blue. So I'm looking at it, and I became so furious and so hurt because it bothers me when I hear people say, y'all police officers this, y'all police officers that, and they put us in this negative category when I'm saying to myself, I'm not that type of police officer. I know officers that are like me that will give their life for other people. So I'm looking at it, and it tore me up because I got to see what you all see. If I wasn't a police officer and I wasn't on the inside, I would be saying, look at this racist stuff. Look at this. And it hurt me. First of all, I became an officer in 1996. I grew up in the hood. So I ain't grew up in the suburbs. I grew up on 93rd in Kansas. We moved to East Cleveland. So I know what it is. So the reason why I became a police officer was to make a difference in people's lives. I knew what it was like to have a parent on drugs. I knew what it was like to watch people be picked on and bullied on and all kinds of things. And I said, I want to make a difference. I want to be that change. So I became that change. So in 96, I took an oath in East Cleveland, sitting in front of Chief Guyton, and said I would serve and protect my community by all costs, even if it meant I wouldn't go home to my one-year-old daughter. And that's what I did. And I did it with integrity and respect. No. The thing that hurt me most of all was that a lot of people that I was arresting were the same color as me, that grew up in East Cleveland like me, so I couldn't understand that. Why would you want to destroy your community? I couldn't understand. I said, okay, but they're not sworn to serve and protect either. They're not, they didn't take that oath. This is what they do. So then I left there and I came to another predominantly black community and became a police officer. I'm the first and only African-American female officer, and I can say that pride and respect. I sat in front of Marcia Fudge and took that oath that I would serve and protect my community. And I also moved into my community and I raised my children in this community. I wear that blue uniform proudly. And I know for a fact I have six beautiful children that love me. And I have a husband. I have a family that loves me. And I know there's times I may not come home from work. I have taken guns off 15, 14, 13-year-old children. I'm talking about real guns. I've had to go and tell a mother that their 13-year-old son or daughter was not coming home. I've interviewed rape victims that's been raped by people that look just like me, the same color as me. We are running around killing each other left and right. But what hurts me the most is the people that stood in front of a judge and stood in front of a mayor and said, I swear my oath that I will serve and protect this community. And God, please forgive me, and you can delete me if you get mad at me. If you are white and you working in a black community and you are racist, you need to be ashamed of yourself. You stood up there and took an oath. If this is not where you want to work at, then you need to take your behind somewhere else. I decided to work in an African-American community because I'm African-American and I wanted to make a difference. I could have worked in Parma. I could have worked in Lakewood. I could have worked in North Homestead. I'm a double minority. They would have got two hits for me because I'm African-American and I'm a female. I'm here because I wanted to make a difference. But how dare you stand next to me in the same uniform and murder somebody? How dare you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. So why don't we just keep it real? If you're that officer that know good and well you got a God complex, you're afraid of people that don't look like you, you have no business in that uniform. Take it off. If you're afraid to go and talk to an African-American female or male or a Mexican male or female because they're not white like you, take the uniform off. You have no business being a police officer. Because there's many of us that would give our life for anybody. And we took this oath and we meant it. If you are that officer that's prejudiced, take the uniform off and put the KKK hoodie on. Because I will not stand for that. If you're an officer that works with me and you're wrong, I will tell you you're wrong. My heart goes out to that young man's family. Because if it was my son, I don't know what I would do. But to my brothers and sisters, my juvenile brothers and sisters, I am your keeper. Put them guns down, y'all. We killing each other. And the reason why all this racist stuff keeps going on is because we're divided. We're killing each other. We're not standing together. See, Martin Luther King them stood together. You didn't hear about a bunch of black people killing each other. We got to stand together because a house divided against each other will not stand. And we got to be smart. Don't mean go tearing up stuff. Be smart. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. That's why I'm going to keep this uniform on. Because today I wanted to quit when I saw that video.
But I need for y'all to support the ones of us that are right. And I need for you to stand for those of us that are not right. I also need for y'all to become role models for our juveniles. Y'all, they're killing each other left and right. I'm telling you. And people that don't really want us to exist are sitting back laughing because they're saying, look at them destroy each other. Yeah, we'll have a police shooting here or there, but we're not going to talk about the millions of black men that are killing each other left and right. Put the guns down. The most powerful, fearful person in the world is an intelligent black man. Man, I need for y'all to stand up. Get these young men, mentor them, teach them. And then when you see that one of us are doing something wrong, and I'm not telling you, know when you're wrong, and you know when you're dealing with the police, and we got to do our job, because we have to do our job. But when we do something that you know is wrong, you need to speak up. You need to go speak to a chief. You need to go sit down and talk to the mayor. I'm not talking about just because I don't want you to tell me what to do. I'm talking about something serious, y'all. Again, this is my thoughts. If you get upset, delete me. This is my Facebook page. God.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place, and tonight we are having our What's On Your Mind line. So you can just call in and talk to us about what's on your mind, what's going on in your community, what's going on in your life and in your world. Dial in 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press star 61 and we'll get you right in. So what did you ladies think about Nakia Jones's
that
delivery
of her?
It was so good to hear from a good cop. It really was. Mm-hmm. And to know that they know, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
they know. And there's some to say, you know, like you said before, looking at it, you can't help but see that's wrong. And she looked at it and she saw that that's wrong. It's no way that you can see that that was right or justified. And she spoke her mind. And that's a risk in itself for cops to step outside of the blue code, the blue wall.
Right.
And point a finger at them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they know.
They totally know. And and I've mentioned this before, when I lived in Memphis, we would talk to cops that would say, I tried to report them. I had to quit the force because they started setting me up to get killed and things like that. So
I talked to them too.
Crazy.
Or they'll get transferred to some dreary post, you know, to keep them out of the main swing of things. They'll be assigned to some stupid job, you know, like giving what do you call those meter maids or something like that, you know?
Yeah, or desk job.
They'll be busted.
Right. Right. They just keep them on the same little beat or something like that.
Yeah.
And they'll be reprimanded and targeted and all mm-hmm. kinds of things. So, yeah, they know exactly what's going on. Yeah, and I think that I wish that was brought up in President Obama's town hall. Also, the fact that these police officers are fearful because, once again, there have been several reports of black police officers speaking about how not only have they been had these negative interactions with their fellow officers when they weren't in uniform, but they've mm-hmm. also discussed, like, just all the craziness that goes on when they do try to speak out. And I just really wish that too could be addressed, not just the police brutality on people, but other officers who are targeted when they do try to speak out. Yeah. And they know this. And so, Now, what was his name, that little guy? He's a singer. I think his name is J. Cole, I believe. And there was a clip that I saw with him speaking about cops. I think someone asked him, what about the good cops? And his response was, that's not a good job, first of all, because you're the arm of the state. You're the military arm of the state, essentially, that's what he said. And so that in and of itself is not a good job to have. So how could you be a good person doing that type of job? And I think that there are good people, like she said, you know, she wanted to go and protect the community. But that's, to me, this is my opinion, to me, that's just not the way to do it. I think that you can do things like what Mother Hattie has done, start an organization with this theme of black women making your lives better, people being in their community, feeding the homeless, doing different things. I think there are just so many things that you could do. People just really walking up and down the street and protecting their own neighborhoods like we used to do. And I just personally don't, being a cop, no. And I know that there's some people out there that say, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to do it righteously and have integrity and all of this and that. But when you get on that, that's just like me saying, to me, this is just my opinion. To me, that's just like me saying, well, I'm going to go into prostitution, but I'm only going to sleep with one person a night, or I don't know, you know, like, I'm not going to charge them that much, or, you know, I don't know, it's just something crazy like that. That's just how it is to me. It's like, that's just not even a job that I would choose, because I don't feel like I need to try to police anybody. I think if we just have the right morals and values, and then if we're not caught up in this crazy system with all this war and fighting and bickering and evilness, and so then we don't even have that kind of life, you know. And then in places like Britain, I think they only have like say one or two shootings in terms of like police, you know, in comparison to like the many shootings that we have here.
Right.
I mean, they don't even kill people. They kill a lot of black people now in London. Now let me just extrapolate London from that whole piece. Now, cause they kill black people left and right in London. But now you have police forces that do not shoot. Body mass. They don't shoot to kill. I think that is something. And I wish that I knew how to go about this, but I think you just have to go through like the police union and have them change their policies, which there have been some police officers that have wanted to do that, but the police union is so powerful, they just refuse to change any of their policies. And speaking of which, there's some young people, I think they're called Young Black Youth, they staged a sit-in at a police station, I think up in New York today. And so I want to commend those young people, and Lord, keep the spirit, the angels' wings over these young people, because these young people, they're just not taking it anymore. And I am so glad to hear that. Stand up.
Strong will.
Yeah. Stand up. Stand up and fight back. Now, before we get into, because we want to let Delta come in and bring her hot topics in, and then Aja with her Feather Light, with her mind, body, and spirit. I know you probably have heard, at least heard, about how Donald Trump's wife plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech.
Right.
And now, if I submitted for an essay in a classroom what Melania, whatever her name is, Trump, said in her speech, then I would be cited for plagiarism. Okay,
exactly.
I would receive an F, depending on my professor and the university. I could be expelled. That woman completely, and I'm going to play this clip. She just completely plagiarized Michelle. And it's you know, they say emulation is the greatest compliment.
Right.
And so I guess, you know, that's
she
a compliment.
She must think the world of Michelle.
She must think the world, even though Donald Trump's campaign manager said that she actually picked up her speech, thoughts for her speech from some little animated movie called My Little Pony, which I wouldn't hear nobody that.
I wouldn't either.
Well, now, Black Rose, I must say tonight now, they don't come out on the news tonight, and they don't admit it that her speechwriter admitted that she took Michelle Obama's speech. But she said the reason she did it, she said Melania Trump told her and gave her Michelle Obama's speech and told her that how much she admired Miss Obama. But to me, now they're saying that the speechwriter is taking full responsibility for it. To me, I think it's a lie. I think they're using her as the scapegoat.
Well, certainly. And that's just, and I did see what the speechwriter said. She tried to resign, but her resignation was rejected by the
that
Trump
is
campaign.
Correct.
And all of this business and whatever.
Following all the proper procedures.
Yeah. And you know, really to
but
me.
But imagine if that shoe was on the other feet, y'all.
Yeah, but
imagine
you know what?
Imagine now.
It would never be
Michelle
on the other feet.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't do anything like that.
It would never, you know, and I get what you're saying, but it would never be on the other feet because historically, things that we have done have always been appropriate, have always been stolen, and they take it, twist it around, and make it theirs, just like the Christian religion, okay, because we were Christians before they even knew what a Christian was. So, anyway, they just
and
always do that.
And we are the creators.
Kind of exactly. They just always do that.
There's nothing new.
Completely. And what was so great about it to me is it just proved, once again, everything we do, you try to take credit for it. So, anyway, and speaking of which, Delta and I, we were talking on the phone today because I was doing a little research on Melania Trump. So, she just gained her citizenship in, like, 2006. So, she was an immigrant from Yugoslavia, which is now Slovenia. And her father was, like, a communist.
Ooh.
Yes, her father was a communist. And her family was like a part of the Socialist Party because Yugoslavia and Slovenia was like socialist. So I'm just totally amazed that no one is like really talking about that. I don't know, maybe the whole speech thing was just a distraction from us to just really look into see who is this little Melania Trump who lied and said she went to college or whoever they lied for and said that she went to college and she didn't. She's a little whore model posing naked everywhere and all kinds of things. So, please. Anyway, girl, you can write
and then they just had another big upset.
A egg, probably.
And they had another big upset tonight, y'all. Let me throw this in because
well,
I've been watching
it. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. Before we go to that, I want to play this clip,
okay.
Comparison clip, and then we'll go into hot topic.
Okay.
All right.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values, like you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life.
Okay, our clip stopped. Let me see if I can get it back up.
Donald Trump stopped your clip.
He did, honey. He did. Donald Trump just completely shut my whole computer down, honey. He just shut down the whole conference line. That Donald Trump, I tell you the truth. So, okay, we'll get it back up. Give me just a second. All right. Let's get Melania plagiarizing butt back up.
Come on, Melania.
Here.
Talk to her.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Don't we got you.
Still messing with everything. But let me see. Let me just close this out and come back up. And I'll make this quick point. For Donald Trump to sit here and talk about how he wants to build a wall. Now, I know, Delta, you're like some of those white male elitists. You don't want the immigrants in either. Even though this country is built from immigrants and immigrant labor, his wife's for immigrants. So
sure is.
The whole
she
point
sure is.
And
how did she get here?
Exactly. I keep talking about this. It is so wrong for certain people to not be allowed to come here, and certain people can. I had a British white male friend. We used to talk about this years ago, how if you're from like the UK, then it's okay for you to come in illegally. He walked around these streets in this country illegal for years. And guess what? Nobody ever stopped him because what? He appeared to be just a regular old white male.
White guy.
But he was here illegally. When I was in Miami, there was the whole controversy about how when Cubans, as soon as they land on Miami lands, they are considered white. They are considered a citizen. Everything is just fine. But when the Haitians come in, they send them to detention centers. They run experiments on them and all kinds of medical apartheid. And it's just not right. When those immigrants wanted to come in from Ireland through Ellis Island, it was fine for them to come in. Everybody else can come over here. But you don't want Mexicans and Hondurans. Hondurans, they let them come in and then make them give a kidney. You got to give a kidney if you're from Honduras. And the United States is the one. The United States caused all the warfare for the people in Honduras to want to leave in the first darn place.
In the first place.
Mm. I was listening to this Mexican lady, and she was saying it's not that people trying to leave. I don't know if she was from Mexico or not. Let me just take that back. But she said it's not that people want to migrate here because, I just want a better life. It's because of the war, bellicose policies of the United States and other countries causing all this war in their country, and they have
in
to
their
leave.
Country. They have
exactly.
to flee.
They have to. Like in Syria.
Why?
Okay. So they have to leave. Because I used to wonder, I used to ask some of my like Dominican friends in Miami and people from Nicaragua, you know, I'd be like, why did you want to come here? And they would say, well, I thought I was going to have a better life, but oh my God, over here. And this is what they would tell me. They would say, oh my God, over here y'all have to work 40 hours a week just to get a paycheck. That's ridiculous. I should have stayed at home. I'm going back. You know, I'm sending my family back. I'm going back in a few years. Because they couldn't believe how much we had to work over here. And they couldn't believe how we really didn't have the freedom that that America boasts about. So a whole bunch of crap. I mean, these people, I keep telling y'all, this ain't nothing but a scam. Let me see if this can come
it's
up
all
now.
All alive. Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're gonna do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise,
that you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation, because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Did you practice it on the plane?
I read once over it, and that's all, because I wrote it and with a little help as possible, so.
Girl, bye. That's just ridiculous. Bye-bye. Lord have mercy. But I mean, you know, it's good that she chose a good speech. At least she chose a good speech to plagiarize. I give her that. So, but let's talk about a little bit about Nakia Jones, the police officer. Anybody else have any thoughts on her video or Melania Trump's speech? A plagiarized speech, or well, let's just say Michelle Obama speech. Shoot.
Well, I don't give her anything for even picking a good speech, because she ought to be ashamed of herself for coming out like that. I cannot believe. Although she may be dumb, but I thought she was smart. You know, if she, that means that she's dumb if she didn't know she was plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech, because as soon as she finished with it, people were saying, that sounds just like what Michelle Obama said.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's that dumb to get up and say something like that, what an embarrassment for her.
It really is.
And that's an embarrassment for her.
I think they thought that people wouldn't go back and fact check her speech and realize that she used Michelle Obama's speech, you know, because they do know that a lot of us have short-term memory, so they probably just figured nobody would remember what she said, what Michelle Obama said 8 years ago, you
I
know.
I find that
so
hard to believe. That stuff was historic.
And then they also said that they only knew Donald Trump. Now, maybe deliberately done this so people can talk about his wife's speech with him getting up tomorrow night, not having any policy. And they said he made had people to talk about the speech, so that way when he stand up tomorrow, because he ain't gonna have nothing to say, how he gonna break stuff down, what he gonna do. So that's,
you know,
another theory they got.
That might be true, but you know what, I'm gonna be honest with you, I just think we're dealing with dumb people.
I agree with that.
I just think they're not very bright people. The man already told us he likes ignorant people. So, you know, I think they're ignorant. I don't care how many billions he has. That man is not real smart. Now, people can say that, but hell, if my daddy or my mama had given me a billion to start out with, I'd have some money today, too.
Exactly. Yeah,
that'd be kind of hard to blow that, but he managed to blow his and file bankruptcy several times. And I don't even think I'd have had to file bankruptcy on that, to be honest with you. So I don't think he's real bright, just because he has some billion now.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
That's just my thought. I don't think at all they're very bright people.
I don't think they're bright at all. And I know people are saying that she's so smart because she speaks four languages.
I want to know which languages does she speak. That's what I want to know. They said she speaks five languages, and I want to know what five languages does this woman speak.
Well, and then
nobody has said which five languages
she speaks. She may speak four or five languages. Well, she grew up over there, so she may speak four or five languages, but that doesn't mean she's smart. That's what you learn when you're a child. That's
when you're growing up in that environment in Europe.
Exactly.
She might speak five Eastern Europe languages.
Yeah, because she did. Exactly. Because she went from Yugoslavia to Germany. So she probably speaks her Slavic language and Germany. And hell, if I move over to Puerto Rico, I'm going to learn Spanish. But I mean, if I'm not smart, that doesn't make me any smarter just because I can speak that other language, another language that I'm submerged into. I got to learn it in order to survive. So, anyway. Man, they're crazy.
And I just think that some of that crazy and not real smart crazy.
Yeah. These people can't even lie right anymore.
They're so dumb and habitual liars. They can't even cover them lies up right.
They can't even hoodwink us anymore like they used to.
It's just ridiculous. Even from the beginning, the whole idea of him getting that nomination is just absurd. The whole thing has been absurd, and they have legitimized his presidency now. But it's just absurd that an individual of that nature, caliber, and what have you, it can be president of the United States, has the opportunity to do that. It's so wild. And the sister speech that she was talking about, it was so passionate, and you could hear it, I think it was really good to hear that.
Yeah, I think so too. It was refreshing to hear somebody speak.
Just to speak out on it. And you know it always takes who?
The black
women.
Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Most definitely. Feather Light, you want to start in with your mind, body, and spirit, or did you want to wait until after this break? Feather. Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I didn't want to make noise as I was doing what I was doing. I guess. Let's see. We got set 6 minutes. Okay. Well, I want to talk about our inside world. We need to take a break from what's going on in the outside world, and let's go within. So, you know, regardless of what's going on, what happens on the outside of your body, it's what's going on in the inside that will determine how you are affected by it. So it's important that we know the world inside of ourselves. And I want to talk tonight about the power within, which is our chakras, your chakras. Your perception, what you think of, your thoughts, your all of it is energy. And the universe runs on energy, which is one of the messages of the Matrix, if you remember that movie. He who has control of the energy has control. So if you have no control or awareness of the energy within you, how can you possibly deal with the energy on the outside of you and when? So, consider this. If we are all energetic beings of limitless potential, why do we face challenges in so many aspects of our lives? Why do our relationships, you know, crumble, our finances, our career and love life seem to go, you know, hoo-hoo, go awry, you know, just go up in the air? So the answer may be that the chakra controlling that particular part of your life is, in fact, dysfunctional, which means it's your job to strengthen it. And there are ways that you can. So think about this during the break. Have you ever wondered how some people can almost effortlessly become top performers at work and have all the money they need for necessities and luxuries and look fabulous doing it? Well, that's because their first chakra, which controls their career and finances, is strong. What about the people who indulge in mind-blowing lovemaking multiple times a week, even if they're extremely busy and have been married for years? Icy Hot, I think you can relate. Their second chakra, which controls their sensuality and passion, is most likely glowing. What about those who consistently project an image of unwavering confidence, even in the toughest of situations, and play an active role in their families and communities? That's all thanks to the radiance of their third chakra, which controls their personal power. If you enjoy deep, loving, and understanding relationships with your children, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, and solve any dispute amicably, their fourth chakra, my tongue is getting twisted, their fourth chakra, which controls their relationships, is no doubt healthy. And always speak their minds, wear their hearts on their sleeves, and be respected for their authenticity. That's the shining fifth chakra, which controls their true voice at work. I'm having trouble with that one. What about those who rely on their gut feelings to intuitively solve problems at home and make important decisions at work and be right about it most of the time? They've got an efficient sixth chakra, which controls their intuition, to thank for that. And lastly, those who experience an unwavering connection to God and their higher selves and savor the security of knowing they're being watched over at all times. Their seventh chakra, which controls their divine consciousness, is surely, surely empowered. So, let me run down these chakras for you before we go on a quick break, and then we'll get into the second chakra, which is the chakra we're going to talk about tonight. Your seven energy centers are, in a nutshell, in layman's term, very briefly, root chakra, instinctual need for survival. Sacral chakra, your second chakra, that's a pleasure seeker. Your third chakra is the solar chakra. It's your power driver, your personal power. Your heart chakra, you're searching for love. Your throat chakra, it's expressing your truth. Your brow chakra, your third eye, that's transcending beyond ego. Put the ego aside. Your crown chakra, that's your spiritual awakening. Some of us have passed some of these chakras and shot straight to the crown chakra. They're all conscious, you know, oh, I know this, I know that, oh, I know this, I know that. But then they're not loving themselves and they're not loving others. So that's a weak heart chakra, but you got a strong seventh crown chakra. So we really need to pay attention to all of the chakras, and they do spin in different directions, and they all have a color, they all have a gemstone, so on and so forth. So now we will go to the brick.
Yes, I love hearing about those chakras, because that's been very hidden information from us for so
a long time.
A lot of people practice with the chakras and meditation and yoga and qigong and tai chi and all of this, and we have been attributing all of this to like Asians or the Indians, but it all comes from us, from Africa,
the motherland.
Because We traveled, and we taught other people, and so
they
took this knowledge along with them, and they continued because a lot of them weren't stripped of their culture, so it stayed with them, and we didn't have it. We couldn't, or we weren't allowed to continue practicing. A lot of our healing, what am I trying to say? Like, a lot of our healing methodologies that are inherent to us, and that's a part of our culture. So we'll pick back up after the break on the chakras, and then we're going to have Delta Cougar come in with her hot topics, because I know Delta has some hot topics, and she just, oh God, I know Delta foot over there. Delta foot just swinging, honey. Delta, you that Delta? Delta, yeah, just hold on.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, Delta. I know your lips twitching, and I know you're ready. I know. I'm coming to you. Because Delta told me, boy, she said, I said, well, Scotty said the service down, so I don't know. She said, oh, my God, we really need to be talking tonight. So Delta was ready. And so we're going to come back from our break. We'll finish up with the chakra talk, mind, body, and spirit with Feather, and then we'll be right back with Delta's hot topics. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
You got to. I'm here to tell you that the only way you're gonna stop police brutality is you got to stand up and be brutal with this damn beast. You got to step to this cracker, or it will never stop. You can moan, you can groan, you can sing, you can pray, you can recite, you can claim you know all the Quran, Old Testament. I mean, all the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the Quran from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas. You can know all the Medunetah. You can know Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity. You can name those of the Netter system. You can go and study the Odu text and substantiate your position according to Odu. You can study the Ifa, or the Word, or the Akan, or the Yoruba, and run through the pantheon of the Orisha. You can call on Oludumare. You can call on Ilegba, and Shango, and Obatula, and Oshun, and Ogun, and Yemonya. You can know all of that. But unless you're willing to stand up and step to this white man, we will never get out of this condition.
All right, and that was Brother Dr. Khalid Muhammad talking about how we can stop police brutality. And I think that when he says you have to step to this whole system of police brutality and the arm of the state, I don't think he's speaking about, well, I'm going to say this here from the Lotus Place. We're not promoting killing any police officers. We're just promoting coming up with some reasonable solution in terms of stopping this. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying go out here and kill any officers, throw rocks at them or harm them, but doggone it, this police killing, it has to stop. It makes no sense. Everybody knows that we're being killed disproportionately. Everybody has seen it. We know it. No question about it. And so we have to deal with it. And if your way of dealing with it is talking to your children about how to respond, how not to move, make any quick movements when the police approach you, then so be it. And in some cases, there do need to be some extreme measures. We just need to just stop the foolishness and get back to loving ourselves, loving each other, protecting our community, ourselves, so the police do not have to come in your community for some foolishness. And stop calling the police on your family members when they have a mental episode.
Please stop.
You know people
that.
Having breakdowns, all this crazy shit going on.
You can't help but have a breakdown.
Hell yeah, I was depressed the other week looking at all that crap. So, you know, you have to be strong. And for those people that, you know, all of this is just hitting them like, oh, my God, why in the world are they killing us? So, yeah, I can see why these people are having these breakdowns if you don't understand what this is all about. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, if you have not read the ISIS papers, you need to read it.
It's a
or just YouTube it. She has several lectures on the whole book on YouTube.
Sure
you don't
does.
Even have to read the book.
You don't even have to read. For those who don't
you
like
can
to
just
read.
Listen. She explains to us why police say, I thought he had a gun. Because when they look at a black man, they see him as a weapon.
Weapon.
He is a threat. So, yes, they really do psychologically feel, I got to exterminate this dude here. This little piece of black darky, I got to exterminate him. So they really do feel like that, some of these cops. So the killings are not new. It's the cameras that are new. And I'm
exactly.
quiet on that. Yeah. 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 You want to pick back up on the chakras, Feather Light?
Yes.
You were telling us about
yes.
the chakras.
Okay. First of all, let me give you the properties of the second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Its name, the second chakra is called the sacral, S-A-C-R-A-L, sacral chakra. In Sanskrit, it's called Svatthana chakra. I won't even bother to spell that. You don't have to look it up. The color is orange. So when you're concentrating on balancing your chakra, I'm painting an orange vase as I speak, think of the color orange, a wheel going around. It does go clockwise, not counterclockwise, like some of the others. It goes clockwise. The element, each chakra has an element. So the second chakra's element is water. It just kind of flows. So when you're thinking about that, think of water, how it flows through your body. Now, these are the organs that it is associated with. The sexual organs, so that's pleasure, your large intestines, your lower vertebrae, your pelvis, your hip area, and your bladder. The gemstones are carnelian. I'm making a carnelian bracelet. I'm very creative. Amber. The whites are the right to feel and the right to want. If you don't have your right to feel and your right to want, to feel pleasure. Some people deny themselves pleasure. They feel like they always got to be in pain. They always got to be depressed. They always got to do something they really don't want to do. Your second chakra is either blocked or it's just not running at all. Sometimes it's partially open, partially closed, or just altogether blocked. The identity with the second chakra is your emotions. And the challenge of the second chakra is guilt. If you're feeling guilt, your second chakra is out of whack. Now, the basic issues that are affected with the second chakra, listen to this if you can relate to any of these. Creativity, sexuality, money, relationships, empathy, pleasure, sensuality, and intimacy. It represents your ability to go within, to go with the flow. You know how some people just, you know, go with the flow, oh, it'll be all right, you know. Accepting and allowing yourself to enjoy your life and your achievements. Accept yourself and others. See, a lot of people do not accept others. That's what I was talking about earlier. They shot to the second, to the seventh chakra, but they're not accepting of others. They have a tendency to mock people who they feel are not as conscious as they are. You know, they're spouting off new stuff that they've learned, and then they're putting down other people. So their second chakra is off. They may be high, may have elevated a little bit in, toward the crown, but the second chakra is out of whack. The associated body.
Can I say something on that? Can I
please
say something on that part?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And if anybody else has any questions or comments while she's speaking about
yes,
this.
I meant to say that. Please, you can stop me and ask.
Yeah, because it's a lot of information. And so yeah, when you spoke about how like some people, you know, they may come into some new information and then they want to chastise those that are not on their level. Yeah, so
good work.
I've had several conversations with people about this because I too, when I started coming into knowledge and information, especially like the whole natural hair community, like I know we used to say, oh, you need to get that perm out your hair and blah, 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 blah. But I had to realize, hey, these people, they got to come into that decision themselves, and they may not want to, and that still don't mean that they are not fighting for people or not a righteous person, not a conscious person, not an awakened person. It's just that's just what they want to do, because we have been psychologically traumatized to feel like we're ugly with kinky hair. So that's a whole nother issue. But in terms of people when they're coming into knowledge and want to chastise other people, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were communicating via text, and she was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's really hard trying to talk to my family because I can't get them to wake up and blah, 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 and they don't understand these police shootings and da, da, da. And I said, I had to remind her, a few months ago, how about that? 9 months ago, you was deaf, dumb, and blind, too. Okay, you just woke up. It took a few video killings for you to wake up, because I remember talking to her. So we have to be mindful of that as awakened and conscious people, and allow people to come into their own learning and their own level themselves, and not criticize people. We can try to bring people to the, like they say, I can take you to the well, but I can't make you drink. So I just wanted to share that little piece, because I've experienced that so much, and now people are kind of becoming more engaged in what we've been talking about for years. You know, now they want to criticize other people, and that's just not good. Don't do that, people. Let's help bring them along.
We have to remember that everybody is at their own conscious level, and that's part of being enlightened, to know
exactly that.
That is part of the enlightenment process, to know that everyone is at their own pace. And we have to remember, as you just said, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago, for some, where were you? You know, where was your mindset? You haven't always been so enlightened. And then there are different levels of consciousness. You don't just suddenly, like, poke this hole and like, hey, I'm there. You know, there are like nine levels of consciousness. And there may be even more, but there are just nine that I know of, you know. So just because you suddenly know this and know that, it doesn't mean that there's somebody else out there who's like four or five conscious levels ahead of you, looking down at you as you look down at someone else.
Right. And being awakened is about not judging people also. Well, that's part of being awakened.
That's
you don't
part
judge
of it.
People.
You don't judge.
Don't judge. Yeah. No judgment. No judgment. Okay.
Yeah. Did anyone else have a comment before I moved on? Okay. So the associated body parts, as I kind of mentioned before, your hips, your lower back, your sexual organs, your bladder, your stomach, your large intestines, bodily fluids, your appendix. So all of these are associated with your sacral chakra, which is about 2 inches from your navel. You know, your root chakra is right down where your sexual organs are, and then your sacral chakra is next. So the sacral chakra is related also to our procreative physical level, on a physical level, you know, procreating, but also not just creating new life, but also to an artistic creative level. So like when we cook, when we bake,
You can create a web design or a garden or any of this. We are creating. So when we create, we find a solution to an old problem. That's creating. So we're using our creative energy, which is found in our sacral chakra. So the problem with creativity is that we are often discouraged from our creative efforts, starting with education. I know, Black Rose, you're heavy on that, starting with our education. Once we pass through the phase where coloring and painting and cutting paper is completely acceptable, it seems that we must mold into less creative beings as we go up, you know, in the educational level. It's sort of crushed. You know, we got to conform. We got to follow these rules to fit in. We got to, in school now, it's no creativity. You just got to, they train you to pass these tests. You know, you're pushing down that creative urge, that creative DNA that's in all of us, that's found in your sacral chakra. So we lose our creative energy and our unique ideas in this process. And I hate to see that in children. And as they become adults, we become used to following what's right and the latest trend. You know, you don't create your own. You oh, that's the new thing in. Let me go out and get that, you know, or whatever is acceptable. Like whoever started this stuff with the sagging pants, it's like, oh, that's the new thing. Let me drop my pants. Oh, let me drop a little bit, you know. And then, you know, you're following others. You're not using your creative energy that's found in your sacral chakra. So that's one of the problems that we have. We stop being creative. We stop taking risks.
Can you talk a little bit about that one? Like, how do you open that one up?
Okay, the sacral chakra?
Yeah.
You're creating.
Yeah, the one with the creativity. The reason I'm asking you that is because there actually is a time in children's lives, like that pre-adolescent and adolescent stage, where that's all they want to do is follow somebody. So there's this natural, maybe maturational piece too that comes along with that. But I'm trying to keep my children's creativity and independence, you know, open, because that is what schooling does. Schooling creates children.
It crushes it.
That, yeah, it crushes their independence, their creativity. It just wants, you know, they just have to fall in line like these little robots. School does it, and then that peer pressure does it. So
right.
It's quite a struggle.
Right. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about some ideas as to how we can keep this creative energy flowing properly within ourselves. And it's a good thing that you mentioned children, because that was going to be my next point. When you look at children, that's why I love to play with children, because my creative side, I mean, just really comes out even more when I'm around them. They're not so conscious of what somebody is going to think, you know, if they say this or if they do this. They'll walk up to somebody and they'll say, oh, why does she have purple hair? You know, but we would dare not say that, you know, but they're more open and they're more inquisitive. And as they grow older, you know, your parents say, don't say that. Don't touch there, you know. We crush that. So play is a great way to begin what we are talking about. You remember the quote that I said, Icy Hot, about growing old? I said that you don't quit playing because you grow older. You grow old because you quit playing. So you ever watch a child play? A child will spend hours building a Lego tower or a sandcastle or this beautiful dollhouse, and then the same child will smash their masterpiece in an instant and start all over again from scratch, as if it was no big deal. That's how they look at things. We need to start playing like a child sometimes. If your gourmet meal doesn't turn out, so what? You know,
right.
If your potted plant dies in a week, plant another one. Don't get all frustrated like, oh, you know. If your work project is a flop, it doesn't mean that your career is over. You know, like the child that plays start again.
Okay.
You have an infinite amount of creative energy. An infinite amount of creative. I mean, I have so many projects working right now. It's like, wow, I'm doing this. I mean, I have two projects working right in front. I'm painting a candle holder. I'm making some carnelian jewelry in front of me. I've got a stool over there that I want to distress. You know, so that's creative energy just flowing. And so what if I mess it up? I can paint over it and make something else, you know?
Yep.
So our roles in life are affected by the programming. We're being programmed so much, you know?
And I'm with you on that. I do remember, you know, you talking about that you don't grow old because you know, that play thing is so important. That's why every chance I get, I'm always playing with the children. My thing is balloons and sparkles and making little things out of them, you know. I really enjoy the play with the children.
And it releases really good hormones when you laugh.
Yeah.
'Cause when you play, you laugh.
Those endorphins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You release those good endorphins.
Do your children, yes, the happy endorphins. Do your children spin Icy Hot? Spin.
Oh, I remember we used to spin outside all the time.
And walk around barefoot. But what? Tell me. Talk to me. Because that's spinning your chakras. Talk to me.
Why are you laughing? I guess I discourage them too, because then they fall down and bump their head.
See, you are restraining their creativity. We come here as children.
I got one that likes to spin so much that he hurt himself. Now, come on with that now.
Oh my goodness!
How bad he made me spin outside. Oh, so he's
no, no.
Let
me ask you this. How badly did he hurt himself?
Well, you know, it's just not, you know what I'm saying. I mean,
no,
like,
I do not tell me. Did his knee? Did he have a concussion?
Well, he could get a concussion, but I don't want one. I don't want to go to the doctor.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So, do you have carpet?
Yeah.
Do you have carpet? Okay. What's wrong with spinning in your living room? What's wrong
with
pushing back?
Nothing's wrong with it. I grant you that. But like I'm saying, he got so bad with it one time I had to stop him. He was bumping into everything. He's bumping into the hardwood.
This is what he wants to do. He came here knowing that spinning balances your chakras.
He just needs to spin. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go out there and spin with him tomorrow then.
Black Rose, I spin all the time, don't I? I spin.
Yeah.
I'm always twirling.
And part of the five rites, which helps with longevity, that's the first five rites is vitality. It's to spin. It's 21 spins. You spin around 21 times. And you know, when we were children, we used to spin. And I would say, if you are afraid of them,
I did. I used to,
Maybe
so
he just needs to go outside.
Well, like I said, that one, he was
you know,
spinning.
I'm adding that to spinning.
I see. He can go outside and spin. Let's let him go outside and spin. So that way he won't bump into anything. Because what you're concerned about is that he'll bump up into something, he'll fall down and hurt himself. So he just needs
I'm in the emergency room.
Spin.
Oh!
Yeah. He needs the space to spin.
Yeah.
So create the space to spin.
so that you won't hurt yourself.
Okay, now.
There you go.
All right.
Because he loved to spin and get dizzy.
Yeah. I feel for him. I feel for him.
Oh, my God.
I feel for him way over here.
Y'all remember when we used to spin and we used to like that little dizzy feeling that we had?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We fall down
on each other.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What better toy than that? I mean, it costs no money.
Exactly. And look,
it gives you hours of fun. You remember when the adults used to take one arm and one leg and then they'd spin you around? They call it the airplane.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah. Yes. I used to do that. I used to do that with Black Rose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the airplane. Okay. And then you go up and down. Mm-hmm. It's like an airplane. Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So this area, the sacral chakra, is also concerned with your daily aspects of living. People whom we relate to, the quality of your relationships. It also relates to everything that we own, your money, relationships, passions. When it's out of balance, it can affect your attachment to people, attachment issues, sexually related guilt, you're timid, hypersensitivity, trust issues. You have trouble trusting people. A person can act completely disconnected and cold toward others if this chakra is underactive, or needy and emotionally dependent on others if the chakra is overactive. So your chakra can be underactive and it can be overactive. For instance, the throat chakra, I'm working on that along with the others. My throat chakra was like blocked. You know, it's just now opening up. Another person's throat chakra who talks incessantly and will not let other people talk, their throat chakra is wide open. It's too open. It needs to be brought down a little bit. It needs to be put more into balance, you know. So there are different levels of your chakra balancing. If you're feeling physically, if you're feeling some discomfort in your lower back, it could mean that there are some emotional issues that need clearing. You know, something that happened a long time ago. It's not unusual. As children, we experience some things, and we don't know how to handle them as children. We don't know how to express them. Something may have happened, and you didn't get a chance to express it or to process it. And it becomes, you know, part of you, part of your belief. And these beliefs, they impact your relationships as you grow older and your success as you become an adult. Because you got to remember that the energy travels up through your chakras. And if your root chakra, which is your first chakra, is still holding on to issues of not feeling safe, you didn't get enough to eat, you didn't have the proper clothes to wear, some kind of a feeling of just not feeling safe and secure, then your sacral chakra won't be flowing properly either, because it starts at the root and it just flows on up. So the main challenge for the second chakra is the conditioning of our society. We live in a society right now, and you got to agree with me here, where feelings are not value. People just get so they don't even feel anymore. You know, your passion, emotional reactions are just frowned upon. I mean, when black people react to killings, murder, people's like, oh my God, you'll get so excited. I mean, oh, maybe this, maybe that. Calm down. You know, we're supposed to repress our feelings. This is part of the sacral chakra. So these are some questions that you can ask yourself to see if your energy is stuck in your sacral chakra. And then we'll talk about how to balance it. In what areas do you allow yourself to experience pleasure? Where do you not? Do you feel creative and sensual? How often do you do things that you really don't enjoy? And how often do you do things that you do enjoy? I have to ask, I teach, I'm a volunteer tutor, and one of the things that I ask in the class is, what's your passion? And these are international people, so they don't really know what I'm talking about. And I said, what do you really enjoy? Not with your family, not with your husband, not with your partner. What do you enjoy you can do by yourself or with someone else and still get the same amount of immense pleasure and enjoyment? A lot of times we forget what we enjoy and we go days or weeks or maybe even months without doing this. Your sacred chakra is not balanced. When you do things for others, is it from a genuine desire to be of service, or are you really trying to win their approval or their love? Raise your hand. My hand is up. Do you have codependent relationships? How do you contribute to them? Do you experience jealousy? Do you trust that life is abundant and that there is always enough? Anybody got their hand raised up?
I had a friend one time. We were in a group conversation, and my friend said that everybody is jealous of something or someone, and most of us in the group, it was about 8 to 10 of us, and we looked at him like, I'm not jealous of nobody. What the hell are you talking about? We were like, no, not everybody, because no, I'm not jealous of anyone. I think that if someone is doing something well, I try to ask them how you do that. How you do that there, like Master P say, so I can do it. I'm not trying to hate on you or be jealous. I want to know, how did you do it? How can I do the same thing? Can you help me get there? So, you know, give me some direction on how I can do the same thing. So,
exactly,
anyway, yeah.
Exactly. Don't hate, congratulate. That's my phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
Always. Don't hate, congratulate. And tell me how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And lastly, do you allow life to be easy, or do you believe you have to struggle and sacrifice and that everything is hard? Mm. I know it's some people out there that feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, so think about those things. If about three of those things hit you, you may, your second chakra may be a little off. Are you having a hard time creating?
Yes.
You have a creative spirit. We all.
I do. I'm having writer's block.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some
because
things
it's all,
that we can
it's
do.
It's all of these distractions and the fear mongering.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
just and I have to go back to Alice Walker's essay on My Grandmother's Garden. And this is what these people do. They keep you so distracted and fighting all of this mess. Just think, if we weren't out in the streets having a protest, police brutality, then we could be working on creative projects. If we didn't
exactly.
have to think about
that
how...
That is their intent.
Yeah, exactly. That's their intent. They keep you distracted and fighting this nonsense, fighting this craziness every day of your life and worrying with your children or your loved ones make it home, you can't even sit down and draw. You can't even sit down and sit at home and meditate properly, because
exactly.
your mind's spinning so much. You can't work on building whatever it is you want to build because you're so caught up in all the nonsense. So, yeah,
exactly.
creative.
Exactly. Distractions,
that's for sure.
Distractions.
And like you said, that's their strategy. To
mm-hmm.
keep you down even further, you know, because everybody don't have to live like that. So
no.
that's what they
we
do.
We can be
with
doing so
people.
Much more. And really, the powers that be, I'm not going to call them the supremacists, the powers that be, they know that the African people and the people of African descent are highly creative. They're most creative beings on this planet. A lot of things that other cultures have or are experiencing or doing right now are from people of African descent, because we are so creative. Medicine, writing, art, music, dance, all of that, all of the many things that we use today, they are from people of African descent, and we're creative people. So if you distract those people from being creative, they can't create, they can't use that energy, because they're so busy, they're so caught up into what's going on. And so
all
many programs on TVs, all this drama. Your mind is occupied. It's occupied. So let's talk about how we can balance our sacral chakra. Now, this first one will not pertain to your children. I see hot. Besides being open to creativity in your daily life, you can balance the second chakra by maintaining a healthy sexual life and honoring and respecting your body. If you're not into sex right now, you can still honor and respect your body. Get in touch with your emotions and see if there are feelings you're holding on to. As I said before, we repress a lot of our emotions. If there's something that happens that you feel a certain emotion about, a certain feel, let it go through you. Don't suppress it. You don't have to act on it. You don't. If you're angry, doesn't mean you got to pick up a vase and knock somebody on the head. But you've got to feel that. You know, you've got to go ahead and let it run through your body. You can't just repress
it. But it makes you feel so much better when you crack them in the head with a vase.
Well, instead of cracking them in the head, go hit some pillows. Throw some pillows. Or take a pillow and crack them, you know, upside the head. I know one, I was sitting in the car with, I was in the back seat, and I was sitting in the, there was a guy sitting in the front seat, and he said something that was so stupid. It was just like, because I was stretched out. I wanted to be in the back seat, and I was stretched out. And he said something that was so idiotic, you know, for his age. And I said, you know what? I just want to smack you upside the head right now. And he said, go ahead. And I did. I mean, he shouldn't have told me, but I did. And it felt so good. And I just,
see that? That's what I'm saying. Crack him in the head.
I did. It felt so good to do that, you know. I didn't hurt him, but, you know, I'm sure it didn't feel good because I got some heavy hands. But I did smack him. So get in touch with your emotions, okay? Here's you know, I told you there's something called breathing, pranayama, and this is a good breathing method. There's so many breathing methods out there. You know, we've done the deep control breathing. This is one. It's called the left nostril breathing. It's called Ada Nadi, I-D-A, and then N-A-D-I. Now, this will open up the second chakra as it brings forth lunar energy. This is what you do. You simply close your right nostril with your two fingers of your right hand, the first two fingers, your index finger and then the middle finger, the one you throw up at people, okay? Say, close your right nostril with those two fingers of your right hand and inhale and exhale through your left nostril, which is left open. So do that for 8 or 10 breaths. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do the left one and then the right one. Just do that one. Close your right nostril with the first two fingers of your right hand and inhale and exhale through the left nostril about 8 to 10 breaths, okay? Meditation with focus on the second chakra. This brings about personal magnetism, bring things to you. Refinement in your behavior, freedom from diseases, and it gives you longevity. So when you meditate on where it is, what I told you was about 2 inches from the navel, right next to, right above the root chakra. It's orange. Imagine a ball of orange. Imagine an orange, like the orange you eat, because when you think of an orange, you can't help but think of the color orange, and that's the color it is. Imagine it spinning, and it's spinning clockwise. So when you meditate on that. If it helps you, get an orange and sit it in front of you, and then concentrate on it. And once you concentrated on it and got it in your mind, then close your eyes and then imagine that orange being in that area of your body. Other ways that you can unblock your second chakra is by doing yoga. So, and I love yoga. It makes a world of difference. And that, by the way, is an African, give me the word.
Practice.
It's an African practice.
It is
not
a spirituality.
Yes, it's spiritual. It's not a bunch of, you know, skinny people walking around bending the body in all kinds of ways. It really helps align your body, and it helps you connect with your higher self. Yoga means to yoke, and you're yoking your earthly body to your higher self. So yoga, go ahead.
I was just kind of saying, we only have about 15 minutes, so you want to kind of wrap it up?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Here's a yoga pose that you can do. In a seated position, bring the bottom of your feet together and let your knees drop to your side and bring your heels in close to your pelvic. And then lengthen your body and then fold yourself forward. Okay, that's a good yoga pose to do. And lastly, let me give you a couple of sacral chakra affirmations that you can say to yourself about 3 times a day. I love and enjoy my body. I allow myself to experience pleasure. My sexuality is sacred. I take good care of my physical body. I am at peace. I am passionate. I have healthy boundaries. I know how to take care of my needs. I nourish my body with healthy food and clean water. I feel pleasure and abundance with every breath I take. I love and enjoy my body. Can I get a namaste? Thank you.
Well, honey, namaste for all of that. Thank you so much. Oh, wow. I need to write down those affirmations for sure. And if you can share some of those on our page, that would be great.
Pleasure. You deserve it. You deserve to feel pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Feather Light, for sharing. All right. Delta.
Yes.
Delta.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a letter for us tonight?
You know what, Delta? I'm so sorry. I did not pull the letter up. I apologize. I really do. So we'll have to come back to the letter next week, because I know you want to get your hot topics in.
Okay.
Yes, I sure do.
Well, we got a black gentleman in St. Louis. He is a black guy, heavy set. He has a job, and his job is helping a white handicapped man.
His job is doing what now? Helping the white handicapped man.
Yeah. He's like his caretaker.
Oh, okay. You said helping.
Helping him, yes. Okay.
Oh,
you know,
I thought you said pimping.
She said pimping.
Yeah, I thought you said pimping.
I thought she said pimping too.
I did.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, whoa,
Oh, no, y'all get your mind out of the gutter.
I know.
What it like.
Okay. Okay.
Well, he is helping this man, and he took the man out for a walk. I guess someone called and didn't like the situation and thought that he was trying to palm the man. The black guy laid on the ground in the middle of the street, and somebody was videoing it. Thank the Lord for these cameras. And the man was laying on the street because he said he don't know why the police called the police. But come to find out, someone called the police because they thought he was doing something to this white man. But the white man, really, he was taking care of the guy. And he was hired by the guy's family to take care of him. So he had the man out for a stroll. Make a long story short, somebody called the police. The police surrounded the man. The man laid down in the middle of the street with both of his hands straight up in the air. The police came towards the man, and the black man cried out and told the police, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." The police shot the man dead in the chest with both of his arms straight up in the air. The police put in their report that the guy was lunging for them. Y'all know the rule, lunging for them and attacking them. Just so happened the video is the only thing that saved the black man. And see, this is why young boys or black people in general are angry and distrust. Because you may have good police, and what you do, you got some good ones, but yet you got some crooked ones. And when the crooked ones do stuff like this, nobody says anything. So, let me move on. Then we have another case in Chicago where this Mexican police officer, cannot call her name right now, but she's in Chicago, and she called in several false reports, several, and they have her on video making all these false reports. And she was disciplined and taken off car patrol, but they never took her off of duty. This lady lied and said that it was an armed robbery. This lady lied and said somebody was buying drugs. And the people went to the store, to Walgreens, to get their mother's medicine. She said they was passing drugs off. I mean, just lies after lies, and they caught her on these video with all these lies. But nobody got rid of her. Then they wonder why the people are so angry. Everything they doing it to themselves because the people see how they doing, and they are making the people upset. And when you push a dog in a corner and bag him in the corner and keep a beating him, the dog gonna come out fighting. I'll say that again. When you push a dog in a corner and him that dog in that corner and continue to beat that dog and beat that dog and beat that dog, the dog gonna get tired. The dog coming out of the corner. The people are tired.
And the dog coming out that corner fighting too.
They coming out the corner fighting. Because the people who know who working with crooked cops won't even do anything. Then you have another case down in Florida where this chief of policeman is a black man. He is the chief of police. He had two black policemen made a report of racism. The police, they wanted him to fire the two black guys because they made a complaint. The police chief refused to fire them. He stood with his two black officers. Yet they fired the chief of police because he wouldn't fire the black guys because the black guys had a legitimate complaint. It was legit. and the chief of police said he knew it was legit, but they got rid of him because they didn't want him to rock the boat. And see, one bad apple ruined it for all the good police, because you do have good police. I must say, you do have good police. You got a handful corrupt in every department, but they don't do nothing about it. And that's why when you got a rotten apple and it stay in there with the rest of the apples, it began to rot and run juice. That means all you keep them in there long enough, and I'm using a parable so the people can understand, and you keep that rotten policeman in with all the rest of them policemen, that's going to rub off on your good ones after a while. Don't let nobody fool you. It's going to rub off on them. So this is why all this is happening now. And it's not people want to go out and kill policemen. That's not what we're saying. We ain't telling nobody to go kill a policeman. Nobody. But we saying the people are tired now. You back them in so long, and they said they tired of backing up. And so that's just what's going on today. Now imagine that man. He said he was crying out, telling the police, don't shoot. I'm not doing anything. What are you harassing me for? And you pulled the trigger and put it in his chest. That's a horrible thing.
That is, and he probably thought that, okay, they won't kill me. I'm on the ground. I'm letting them know that I'm innocent. I'm at work. I'm working. I'm a working man. And you still get killed. Breathing while black. Working. Breathing while black. Man. Can't even work. Man.
It's sad.
And we just need to figure out how can we change. What are we going to do different? Because they're going to keep on doing what they're doing.
Exactly.
So it's up to us.
Yeah.
It's up to us. I heard that mayor in Baton Rouge, who's a black mayor, where Alton Sterling was killed, I heard that he didn't even call the family. Even Barack Obama, I heard, called Alton Sterling's family. The mayor didn't even call the family. He's a three-time mayor, and he just refused to call the family.
They need to bolt that Uncle Tom and that coon right out.
Yes, you do.
Alton Sterling, even though he was a convicted felon, he did not pull the gun on the man.
And it don't matter if he was a convicted felon, because they didn't know that when they approached him. So, I mean, that doesn't even matter. They didn't know that. They didn't know he had a gun.
A person who was caught with some drugs on him. You know,
yeah.
A felon could be anything these days.
Yeah, you see how they're trying to put a felon on that little boy that was staring at the little girl, had the staring contest. So I mean, you know, yeah, that they didn't know that he was a felon.
Yeah,
and maybe they did, but still, they approached him wrong and they killed him.
Yeah,
so
yes,
still.
We must not get caught up into these titles that they put on people after the fact.
That's why they make them felons, so that they can say, yeah, I killed him, and guess what? He was a felon. We found out he was a felon after I killed him.
Exactly.
You're not
exactly.
Judge, jury, and executioner. You are not judge, jury, and executioner. That is not
right.
Your job. No. You don't do that. You're not
hired.
You
got a job
as
a policeman. Your job is a policeman to arrest.
Yeah.
Not to kill.
Yeah.
You right.
Mm-mm. So, any other hot topics you have for us, Delta?
Yes, we have a young black boy out of New York City. And
New York?
He wanted to figure out how to make him some change, a little money. and his grandmother gave him $150.
Okay.
And the grandmother taught him how to sew. And the young man began to make bow ties. And the young man started selling the ties, and he began to sell them and sell them and sell them and sell them. Now he's 13 years old with 5 employees. His business grows $200,000 a year, almost, just selling ties.
That's wonderful. That is.
So this is what we're trying to teach our kids. We can make something happen for ourselves. We got to make it happen.
That's using his sacral chakra, being creative.
Mm-hmm.
We have to and support that creativity in our children.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage them. If you see them doing something well, then let's cultivate it and develop it. Buy instruments for the children. I was looking at this picture on Facebook, and somebody posted a picture, and the child, I can't think of the name of that disease, like when the lip and the gum, your top gum, that's kind of like fused together.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of that disease. But so,
cleft palate.
That's it, cleft palate. And so the child was afflicted with that. And the picture showed the little baby, he probably was like about a year old or something. He had on this little Michael Jordan hat, little Michael Jordan shoes, and all of this stuff. And, you know, I looked at the baby, and I was like, oh, that's so sad. But then I looked at it, and it made me just seeing the baby in a little Jordan hat, little Jordan shoes, and little Jordan something else. And I just thought about, you know, how much money parents spend on all of these little expensive things for children.
Yeah.
And it just, I couldn't even just really just say, oh, about the baby, because, you know, me, I was just so focused on, hey, why the hell that little one-year-old baby got all this Jordan stuff on? You know, so I said that to say this, if we could just take some of that money sometimes and buy these children, I keep saying it, buy these children a Rosetta Stone so they can start learning two languages while they learn in English. Buy them some musical instruments and things like that. Let's put money into the children in a different way. Let's start bringing them up where they can be multi-talented, and we tap into their creativity, and so that they can grow into the adult and the beautiful person that they came here to be.
Right.
So I think that we as adults, we stifle children in so many ways.
We do.
My God.
We do. We do.
I mean, you know, I know a lot of my creativity was stifled, and a lot of it was nurtured too. Just one quick instance, I used to love to draw. I used to love to draw so much that I would draw on the wall. And so what my dad did is he went and wallpapered the wall so I wouldn't draw on the wall. But you know what? I found a little white space in the wallpaper so that I could draw on the wall. And so what would have helped if I had a canvas, and then I could have been drawn on my canvas. But I did like music, and my parents did buy me instruments. I had a saxophone, I had a drum set, I had a flute. So, you know, they did. And I know that, like, parents just can't think and do everything. But, you know, we can just focus a little bit more on how we can find, you know, just watch the children and just, you good at that. Let me put you in those
classes.
Let me
find
somebody that can help you with that.
Right.
Definitely. So, well, all right, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much, Icy Hot. Thank you, Feather Light. Thank you, Delta. And we will be back next week. Yes. So look up your chakra information. And
can
also
I give one more thing that
United
they can do
page.
For the chakra? Can I give one more thing? It's okay. This is a seated pelvic circle. Sit in a cross leg or half lotus pose with your hands on your knees and make circles with your torso. Just go around in 5 or 6 directions, round with your body. You're sitting down. You're just going around and then reverse.
and then clockwise, 5 or 6 times. That is opening up your sacral chakra as well. And it's fun. Have your child do that, Icy Hot. He'll be going in circles with his head.
Hi. That's good. He'll like
he'll
that, too.
He'll be seated.
All right. And good night. Namaste.
Namaste.